Good morning, and welcome to this week's MTC Studio broadcast. This week, we kick off a new series, actually this month, we kick off a new series about building the intelligent cloud. And a lot of our customers are interested in how can they take advantage of the cloud to streamline and improve their business. And one of the first ways a lot of our customers are taking advantage of the cloud is to modernize their data platform. Now, before we jump into this, I just wanted to go over a couple of logistical items. If you have any questions, please feel free to type them into the Q&A manager, and we'll be monitoring that throughout the call. Also, if you want to full screen size the video, you can maximize the video screen for that. So with that, I want to introduce today's guest, my colleague, Pravat Varma. Welcome, Pravat. How are you doing today?
Hi, Dean. How are you? Doing well, thanks.
Pravat, can you give the audience a quick introduction of yourself?
Sure. My name is Pravat Varma. I'm with DB Best. We are a database company that's quite close to Microsoft. We do product development for Microsoft. We're based here in Redmond by Microsoft Corporate. And we work closely with corporate and the field in helping customers get the most out of their investment on SQL Server and Microsoft technologies.
That's great. Thanks.
On a personal level, I'm also an ex-Microsoftie, so we have quite a close personal relationship that extends beyond my time at DB Best, which actually has been helpful in engaging with Microsoft's customers.
Great. Hey, Pravat, so what are you seeing when you're working with our enterprise customers in terms of modernizing our data platform?
Well, there's a number of things that we're seeing, but one of the really compelling events that's coming up is the end of life of SQL Server 2005 and the end of life of Windows Server 2003 that's affecting a number of customers. And so for a number of our customers, for them to be able to understand how they can reduce risk in their business and make sure that their environment is in alignment with Microsoft product supportability is a core initiative that we're seeing being driven at a number of different customer sites.
Gotcha. So what are these key dates that you're seeing in terms of end of life?
Well, let me take you to this slide here that's talking about the Windows Server lifecycle. And you can see here that on July 14th of 2015, we just passed a couple of weeks ago, was the end of life for Windows Server 2003. Now you'll notice that for each of these products, there's a line of varying colors. The section in green is when the product is fully supported by Microsoft. When it goes from green to yellow, that product is then in extended support. And then, of course, when you have a circle, the red circle with the line through it, at that point, it is no longer an extended support. At that point, it's no longer supported by Microsoft unless you buy custom support from Microsoft, which is quite expensive. And so for a number of customers, we of course, don't want them to be beyond that that circle with the line through it. Now, you'll notice that is clearly obvious for Windows Server 2003, but what you'll also notice is that for Windows Server 2008 and 2008 R2, both of those products are currently end of life today. They are in extended support. That extended support will run until January of 2020, but for a number of customers that are still on those products, they may want to consider moving it to a supported platform along with the move of Windows Server 2003. Windows Server 2003 is a must. 2008 and 2008 R2 are not a must, but it should be on the path for modernization. And this is an activity that is one that customers will have to do periodically, as you can see from the product supportability of these other products like Windows Server 2012, 2012 R2, and 2016. In addition to that, if we were to kick over and see what the SQL Server lifecycle looks like, you can see here that if you in fact have any SQL Server 2000, that of course went end of life over 2 years ago. There are still a number of customers that have SQL Server 2000. And if you have any SQL Server 2005, which a large number of customers do, that will be end of life in less than 1 year. So the immediate modernization initiatives that a number of customers are driving is really heavily around SQL Server 2005. Obviously, that would be the case for SQL 2000, should any exist. But much like Windows Server, you'll also notice that for both SQL Server 2008 and 2008 R2, both of those products are end of life. We are currently in extended support for those products. So much like for Windows Server, those are products that you may want to consider upgrading as well. Excuse me. So continuing on here. So the notion of extended support, what that means to you is that there are not going to be any security updates. And this is, of course, a critical issue in the event that there's a patch that's needed. Obviously, there's going to be a higher level of maintenance costs given the lack of supportability from Microsoft, which will impact the work that you may have to do in running your overall infrastructure, like your firewalls and your intrusion systems and so forth, and that can get quite expensive. And the largest one that we're hearing from customers is really the compliance needs. So in the event that you have product that is running unsupported, then obviously that won't meet with your internal compliance requirements. So some critical things that you should be considering about regarding end of support. Now, for customers that are facing this problem, one of the challenges that exists, especially when customers have very large environments or environments that are scattered throughout their infrastructure, is really trying to understand what does that aggregate environment look like. And what we've done that has been well received by a number of customers is we've incorporated both processes and software to be able to help understand that environment and come out with a game plan for modernization. And it starts off with a utility that we've written called DBMSys, which stands for Database Management System. And it is a utility that can run in a VM in your environment. It is agentless, meaning that it won't require you to install this on any other servers besides that single server where the VM is running. And it will gather a significant amount of profiling data for the environment that you want us to take a look at, of course. And that information can consist of everything from the kind of CPU that you're running to the amount of memory, the amount of disk, the version of operating system, the version of the database, along with performance metrics, so things like CPU utilization, network bandwidth, disk I/O, and so forth are core capacity metrics is that ultimately form a data foundation on which we can begin doing a series of analysis. And the kinds of modernization activities that we see are broad, but I've listed four of the ones that we see quite common. Core to this conversation is, of course, upgrade. But along with upgrade, when customers are choosing to upgrade their environment, typically, the upgrade is done in conjunction with one or more of these other activities. So, for example, when you're performing an upgrade, and you're upgrading an old database on an old operating system, it's not uncommon for that to be running on older hardware. So there's often a data center move, or at the very least, a hardware upgrade that's involved. And with an increase in hardware capacity, oftentimes customers are consolidating and virtualizing on that hardware. For a number of customers that may not be interested in continuing on with running their entire data infrastructure in-house, they're using this opportunity as a way of bypassing capital expenditure for hardware acquisition and go directly to the cloud. So the upgrade acts as a catalyst for additional cloud adoption as well. Now, when we're performing this modernization roadmap, the notion of the modernization initiative is often something that has to be coupled with a financial analysis or a business case that's being analyzed internally. So when you're coming out with a set of recommendations on what you need to do for modernization, like, for example, upgrading or consolidating or moving to the cloud, being able to explain why this makes business sense for you and your business becomes an important part of the overall story. And this is something that we've found has been well received by a number of customers, being able to explain to them the financials of why they'd want to perform these activities. Along with the financial model, the core deliverable that we're really helping customers understand is, what does that modernization roadmap look like? When do you want to upgrade? When do you want to consolidate? When do you want to virtualize? When do you want to, you know, migrate? When do you want to move to the cloud? So we're taking a look at the financials, and that becomes a factor, not the only factor. There's a number of other factors that are part of this, but we work together with customers to build out that modernization roadmap. So when we take a look at this entire workflow end to end, just to recap, we start off with DBM Sys to gather information on the customer's environment to really form that data foundation. So ultimately, our recommendations are based upon data that we can pass on to you and that you can pass on to your management. And that data foundation helps you be able to understand what initiatives you want to take and why, like upgrade, consolidation, migration, cloud adoption, and so forth. Along with that, we also provide the financial model and then, of course, the roadmap itself. So the core takeaway from this slide here is that when we're making our recommendation, that recommendation is really predicated on that data foundation. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is to be able to provide the insight on the when, the why, the where, the how of our recommendations. So when your management asks why you should do this, you have all that supporting data that you can provide them. I want to share with you an example of a customer that we ran this against. It happens to be one of the largest security companies in the States. And just to very, very briefly explain these two slides and what it means, on the left-hand side here is a profile of their environment as it relates to licensing. And you can see in this particular case, they have 242 servers across that's representing 1,851 cores, broken down by these various versions of SQL Server, ranging from SQL 2000 to SQL 2012 and everything in between. On the right-hand side is that same view, but from a database side. So this is basically explaining the number of databases. It has nothing to do with licenses, but rather the number of databases that are inside that environment, where you can see it's 2,530 databases that are, of course, also ranging from SQL 2000 to 2012. The distinction is an important one, because when we perform the upgrade ultimately is at the database or the database instance level, but that may impact how you're licensing your environment. So these, while separated, may impact your overall modernization approach. What you see for this customer is that this customer has 96% of all of the SQL that's running in their environment is either running unsupported, which means that it is running SQL 2000, as you may see here, there's 107 servers that are running SQL 2000, or they're running in varying degrees of extended support. Varying degrees of extended support means anything that is SQL 2000 8R2 or older. Additionally, when we look at this environment, we find that nearly half, about 49% of all of the SQL databases are running SQL Server 2005. That is, of these 2,530 databases, 1,243 are on SQL 2005, which, as we mentioned earlier, is going to go end of life support on 4/12 of 2016. Additionally, nearly half, a little under half, about 45% of all of these SQL databases is running on Windows Server 2003, which will end of life and extended support on which has end of life already on extended support on 7/14/2015. So that just happened a couple of weeks ago. So for this customer, what we can see is that custom support of these environments is going to be cost prohibitive, and the need to modernize is fairly significant. And we are in fact working with this customer on modernization. And the modernization approaches that you take when you're dealing with thousands of databases across hundreds or thousands of applications is going to require, you know, fundamentally potentially different approaches, and we have customized software that helps accelerate that, which impacts, of course, cost and time. So that level of profiling extends beyond just the software; it extends to the hardware as well. And again, the software gathers all of this information on the customer's hardware. And what we can see is that in this particular customer's case, that 60% of all of their hardware is 4 years or older. And when you're dealing with incredibly old hardware that's running on old operating system, that's running on an old database, that the need for modernization is cutting across multiple areas, and in many cases, and it certainly is the case for this customer, that they decided to leverage this this profile view to be able to go directly to the cloud, to be able to avoid the capital expenditure versus having that hardware be available on demand in the cloud. Now that analysis is also extending to further optimizing both the on-prem environment and potentially the cloud environment. So we're gathering information like CPU utilization, disk I/O, concurrent users, network bandwidth, and so forth. And that information is then ultimately being leveraged to build out a capacity model, which is this chart that you're seeing here on the right-hand side. And what we're really trying to do is to understand what workloads can be potentially moved to environments that are capable of hosting a greater amount of capacity. So it's helping map consolidation and virtualization recommendations. And in the case of this particular snapshot that you're seeing here, it's helping customers understand how much workloads are going to cost to move to the cloud, and what workloads make sense to move to the cloud, and what workloads make sense to remain on-prem. So in this example, what you're seeing is that for this server 16A, which is running at a maximum of 23% CPU, and this server 28C that's running at a maximum of 80% CPU, that for these two servers, if we were to decommission both of these servers, the savings on the hardware and the licensing would be exactly the same. But the cost of moving the workload of server 16A is going to be about one quarter that of workload 28C. So it would make more business sense for the customer to move the workload on server 16A, but maybe leave the workload on 28C on-prem. And being able to have all that detail level data and then matching it up against the capacity and utilization really helps us make recommendations as to what that optimal future state is looking like. Now, that analysis is continuing to the cloud as well. We leverage some of the same core data to understand capacity to make recommendations on what to move to the cloud. So in this particular case, what you're seeing here is that this customer had 241 physical servers on-prem. And in this particular case, we could only move 207 of the 241 servers. And that was because the remaining 30 some odd servers had capacity requirements that were larger than the capable capacity of the servers that were at the customer, that were in the Azure centers that are local to their geography. In this particular case, this customer did not have the new G-class servers that were available, which are these much larger servers. So we were essentially looking at moving 207 servers, and we gave them two different configurations. One was to move these 207 servers to 49 cloud servers, so these are consolidated cloud servers, for which they'd have to spend about $57,000 and change per month in terms of capacity, along with purchasing these licenses for enterprise and standard. And we were able to also be able to articulate what their persistent storage cost would be, which is for $642 per month, along with their storage transaction cost, which is $520, and their monthly network cost, which is $2,600. Now, I want to mention that getting this data had historically been impossible to do. The only way that most customers know what workload is going to cost is to actually do that lift and shift, move it to the cloud, get their bill at the end of the month, and then understand what that workload is going to cost. And what we've been able to do is really articulate that before you make the move to understand what you want to do and how you want to do it, and the various options. So the second row here is showcasing that if you were to move these 207 servers on a one-to-one basis, that is, you're creating 207 VMs, smaller VMs, versus 49 larger VMs, then the capacity cost, if they were to run, if those VMs were run 24/7, is $71,000. If you were to run it on a on an optimized manner, meaning that you're only running it when it's being utilized, it would cost you about $60,000 to do that. So various options associated with how you want to be able to approach your Azure adoption. And with that, I wanted to be able to take us into a demo so you can see real time how some of this analysis works. So let me share with you some of the capacity planning ways that we're looking at customers' environment. So what we do is that we'll start off and we gather all of this raw data, which is what you're seeing here, including things like CPU utilization, IO utilization, memory usage, network usage, and so forth. And as a subset of that, we'll look at things like percent processor time, IO read writes. I mean, it gets very, very specific. And this information is really gathered for all of your servers. Again, with an agentless client. So you would install this on a single server and it'll look at 10 servers, 1,000 servers, 10,000 servers in exactly the same way to gather this information. Now, once we have this base data foundation, we can start really looking at what your environment is, or how your environment is behaving. So for example, here for CPU utilization, we're really taking a look in this case at this server 16A's CPU. If I wanted to take a look at server 20A, for example, I could graph that out, and you can see that it has a very different CPU consumption. If I wanted to take a look at that for disk IO, because disk IO, we don't want systems to be thrashing depending upon how much throughput is coming in. In this particular case, I happen to be looking at IO reads and writes, and I happen to be doing it across this particular server. If I wanted to look at it across a different server, I could certainly look at it across that server or multiple servers, if in fact all of these servers are accessing a SAN, and you want to make sure that your SAN is not being overloaded. And this continues to a number of other types of analysis. So for example, in this view, I'm taking a look at percent processor time that SQL Server is consuming, which is this line in blue, versus the amount of processor time that the system, the aggregate system, is consuming, which is this line in red. And you can see here that it's got a peak utilization of little under 40%, which is plenty of lead headway, meaning the system is not thrashing on CPU for this particular server. And of course, our ability to go across multiple servers, look at it across either just SQL Server or the system, or cut that data across a million different ways to really understand how your system is behaving, is pretty significant. In a graph like this, we're taking a look at the number of users that are on the system at any given point in time, where every line here is representing a server, and this is the number of users that are on that server. So you understand where your peak throughputs are in terms of number of users that are accessing your system, and we can overlay that with things like CPU utilization, disk utilization, network bandwidth, memory consumption, to really get a good understanding of where your peaks and valleys are in your environment, where you may have some problems, and what you should do around that. But fundamentally, the core thing that we're trying to do is to build out a capacity model. And that capacity model is what helps us understand how you should consolidate, how you should virtualize, how you should move workloads to the cloud. This type of profiling will also extend out to profiling the version of SQL Server that you have, the kind of operating system that you're running, and so forth. So in this particular case, what you can see is that this customer has, if I were to click on this 2000 here, you can see that this customer has 15 cores of SQL 2000, which of course is end of life, even in extended support, running across these servers under this SQL Server instance. We happen to know that it's the desktop edition of SQL Server. We're looking at that across all physical and virtual servers. If you wanted to just look at that across physical servers, we can constrain just by physical server. If you wanted to understand what that environment looks like for SQL 2000 and 2005 and run that across anything that is Windows Server 2003 or older, like XP Professional and Windows 7 Professional, which this customer also has, they can get all of this information within a mouse click. And so our ability to understand not just the profiling of how your systems are being utilized, but also what kind of hardware and software you have in your environment becomes an important part of being able to rationalize your modernization platform. So a view like this is something that I call my upgrade profile view, where we're helping customers understand what they need to upgrade relative to the Microsoft product supportability. So in this case here, you can clearly see that there's very little SQL Server 2000 deployed. Everything, there's only two cores of SQL 2012 deployed, and everything else is 2008 R2 or older, which, as we know, is all unsupported, with SQL 2000 being unavailable and even extended support, and SQL 2005 becoming unavailable and extended support in a little bit over 10 months. So really helping understand what kind of workloads on the upgrade they should take, where they should take it, what priority they should take it, and so forth. We can extend that view to understanding the components of SQL Server that you're using. This is an important conversation to have, because you may be using features of SQL that have grown much more significantly in later versions and that you could benefit from. So, for example, in this view, if I were to remove this constraint and look at really all the servers, you'll see that this customer has 41 servers, physical servers, representing 165 cores that are running SQL Server and reporting services. Well, why is this important? It's important because what we'll notice inside the upgrade profile view, that there's very little SQL 2012 that's available. But all of this data visualization that I'm sharing with you here is enabled through SQL Server reporting services only on SQL 2012 and 2014. So knowing that this customer is a heavy consumer of reporting services, and the user experience and the capabilities of older version of reporting services are not nearly as compelling as what you see here, this is one example of how a new feature of SQL Server is really driving, in this customer's case, adoption. So an example of how features of SQL Server are driving adoption, whereas in this view, how the Microsoft upgrade supportability is driving adoption. Similarly, if we were to look at hardware and we look at, for example, CPU, inside the CPU, you'll notice that this customer still has some old Intel Pentium 4 machines that they could easily consolidate to a new server and save on not just the hardware, but also the licenses that are associated with that. So just three of many examples that are related to consolidation, that are related to alignment with the Microsoft product supportability with upgrade or with new feature adoption. But fundamentally, these are recommendations that we're making based upon raw data, and that is a core theme that we're trying to drive going forward. So going past this demo, along with the technical analysis, we also want to be able to include a set of financial assessments on these modernization options. And this is an example that we did for a customer. And what we essentially did is that we created five scenarios per the customer. Every financial analysis is a little bit different. The things that you may be interested in understanding may be the same or may be a variation of what you're seeing here. But in these five scenarios that we created, they wanted to know, hey, what's my spend on my current state? If I do nothing and I stay where I am, how much am I spending? Or if I were to move to the cloud on a one-to-one basis, so I don't consolidate, how much would I be spending? Or if I move to on-prem, how much am I spending? Or if I were to consolidate everything on-prem, how much am I spending? Or if I were to virtualize everything on-prem, how much am I spending? And we also, of course, recognize that the future state is going to be likely a combination of one or more of these items and will be achieved gradually over time. And we ran the numbers for this customer. This is an example of, there's a lot of other supporting spreadsheets and other calculations that went into this, but you can see here that this customer in the current state has a spend of about $10 million. And the most optimal state for this particular customer is to move their existing servers to Azure VMs in a consolidated basis, in which case they'd be saving about $6 million. A little bit more than $6 million. And this is including the SQL licensing spends, the Azure consumption rate, the operational cost, and so forth. So a very quick way for you to be able to understand why you would want to perform these actions. And again, there's other supporting data that goes into each one of these numbers much more substantially. So if these activities are important to you, we can help you get to that goal. And what we'd suggest doing is to have a review of your database and your application environment to make that recommendation on what that future state looks like. And the way that we would go about doing it is that we would start off by running this DBM Sys utility that gathers this data foundation on which we are profiling your server infrastructure as well as your SQL environment, and then leveraging that information to help build out the business case. So with that, I'll kick it over to Q&A. I'll pass it back to you, Dean.